In 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 11 in a few moments, you and I, as believer priest, are supposed to be becoming increasingly Christ-like. Every day of the world, we are to be becoming increasingly Christ-like. And the only way that we can become increasingly Christ-like is if we take our rightful place of death to self, alive to God, alive to Christ Jesus. Now, understand something. This is a lifelong process. You will be in this process until you get to glory.
Amen.
One split second after your last heartbeat, it'll be over. Mm-hmm. And the battle will be over. Yes. Now understand this. The elect, who are the elect? And this is so much, I think, that the church doesn't understand. The elect are those that God knew from eternity past would be willing to be his child. Not all are.
No, sir.
But he knew, God knew, in the scripture we read about the elect. And the elect are not that God chose some before the foundation world, said you're going to be saved and you're going to go to hell. No. The Word of God says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But you have to understand that before the foundation of the world, he knew who the whosoever were. Before the foundation of the world, before he created a thing, he knew who the whosoever would be. And he set in motion a plan whereby the whosoever will would be conformed to Christ Jesus. As we come through this morning, understand this. God's plan and purpose for your life is that you become increasingly Christ-like. Increasingly in everything that you are. But understand this, it's a lifelong process. Becoming increasingly Christ-like is a lifelong process. It begins when you're born again. That's when it starts. The minute you are born again. But then it continues throughout your entire lifetime. So you will be in the process of becoming increasingly Christ-like throughout your entire lifetime.
Hello.
You never arrive at being fully Christ-like. So, being conformed to Christ-likeness in every nation, every race, every group of people, God has some. Did you hear me? In every nation, in every tribe, in every tongue, every race, God has those that he has known before the foundation of the earth would be willing to be his. And he knew who would be his. He knew who would be indwelt by the Holy Spirit, being individually conformed to Christ's likeness. He knew all that before the foundation of the world because he is God. Now, you, as one who's been born again, you are one of the elect.
Amen.
That does not mean that he chose some to be born again and some not to be born again, but it just means that he knew who would be willing to be born again, who would be willing to be willing to confess they were a sinner and receive Christ as their Savior. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So just be thankful that you are a whosoever.
Amen.
That you're one of those who have received Christ, and now you've got to be conformed to Christ's likeness. And folks, we all are at different levels in our conforming process. There's ups, there's downs. There's days there's failure. There's days there's victory. But we're in the process of being conformed to Christ's likeness, and to resist the conforming process is to place yourself at risk. Did you hear me?
Yes, sir.
To resist being conformed to Christ's likeness by the Holy Spirit is to put yourself at risk, because then He's got to permit things into your life that will encourage you to submit, surrender, and be conformed.
Hello.
You following this? We're up against this every day. You need to understand this. To conform each believer to Christ's likeness is His goal for each and every one of us. Now, the best thing you can do as a believer, submit and surrender.
Amen.
Submit and surrender. Every day of the world, when you wake up, even before you get out of bed, you can start breathing to Him, "I submit, I surrender to Your Lordship in my life. As an act of my will, I choose to submit and to surrender to Christ's likeness." Now let's come to 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them, that's you, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. A servant, Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ. But let's slow down a minute. Last Supper. And Christ is explaining what's going to happen that night. And basically what Peter says, "You're wrong. You've said they're all going to desert you, not me. I won't desert you." "Peter, before the cock crows, you will deny me three times." See, Peter wasn't nearly as spiritual as he thought he was. There's a lot of arrogance in the church. There's a lot of pride in the church.
Amen.
You got a lot of people sitting in churches this morning who are thinking, "I'm okay. I got my act together. I'm becoming more Christ-like every day." And yet there are points and times during the day that you're not very Christ-like.
Amen.
And we all get there. Mm-hmm. We all get there. In our attitudes, in our reactions, in our responses. The question is, am I willing to acknowledge that? Am I willing to acknowledge those areas of my life where I am not Christ-like, and I'm willing to slow down and take the time to examine those areas of my life where I'm not Christ-like and discuss it with the Lord in my day-to-day attitudes, reactions, responses to life, who I am and what I am. So, here's Peter. Now, remember, he is an apostle. He used to be a fisherman. He was a fisherman. Now, he's an apostle. But then, what did you start out at? And what are you now? You were a sinner. You're a sinner saved by grace. What kind of sinner were you? He was a cursing fisherman. He knew how to cuss. How do I know he knew how to cuss? Because the Bible tells us. The Bible tells us. He knew how to cuss. He was an old fisherman. He was a servant with a servant's heart. Once he got to Christ and once he became humbled, remember that night he denied Christ three times? "No, I don't know him. I don't know him." But he developed a servant's heart, developed a servant's mind, and he was an apostle appointed by the Lord Jesus Christ to be an apostle. He was not self-appointed. He was not self-proclaimed. Folks, I've been in ministry a while now. And I have been in ministries where they referred to so-and-so as this, that, or the other. And I've been in ministries where individuals came to the platform and let you know who they were and what they were. Amen. And I had problems with that. But here's Peter. He was not a self-appointed apostle. He was an ex-cussing, swearing, Christ-denying fisherman. But now he's the apostle.
Amen.
He come to Christ. He believed. He's been changed. He's been transformed. You see, there's a tendency by some to think more highly of ourselves than we should.
Hello.
Hello? Thank you. There's a tendency to think more highly of ourselves than we should. I've accomplished this. I've accomplished that. I've been recognized as this. I've been recognized as that. And the next thing you know, if we're not careful, we're thinking more highly of ourselves than we should be. Continuing with verse 1, he's writing, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Paul is writing to a specific group of people. He was then, he is now. He was speaking to a specific group of people then and now. Who's that specific group of people? To them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Each of us have to ask ourselves, am I one of those? Am I one of those that he's writing to? Have I obtained the righteousness of God? Am I in Christ Jesus just as righteous as God himself? We have no righteousness of our own. But the Word teaches us that when we come to Christ, we're made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Not in and of ourselves, but in Christ Jesus. Verse 2. Peter goes on. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. He's saying to them, may you more fully realize the grace and peace of God. What he says to them applies to each of us. Each of us should desire that, to more fully realize the grace and peace of God and in our identification with Jesus Christ. We need to fully appreciate and understand who we are in Christ Jesus, what is expected of us as being one in Christ Jesus. But you have to first start out, know that you are identified with Christ Jesus as a result of having been born again. Now, I'm assuming that everybody in here has been born again. As one who's been born again, you have got to come through all these stages, I keep telling you, of spiritual development. And you will never arrive till you get to glory. You will never arrive till you get to glory. Now you need to ask yourself, how far up the path am I? Am I at the infant level, the beginner level, the adolescent level, the child level? Am I at the teenage level in my walk with Jesus, in my being Christ-like? In becoming increasingly Christ-like, where am I in this growth process? Folks, these are things we need to look at ourselves. We have to examine our attitudes, our reactions to life, our responses to life. We have to be honest with ourselves about what we really feel, what we think, and about our attitudes, reactions, responses. All that plays into it. 2 Peter 1:3, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. That's a powerful verse. That's full of truth. Listen to it once again. According as His divine power hath given unto us, each of us individually, all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him, through the knowledge of Jesus, that hath called us to glory and virtue. He has called us to glory and virtue. God left no stone unturned in His provision for His people.
Amen.
God has provided everything you need, that I need, to be Christ-like. All I've got to do is receive it. All I've got to do is access it. It's available. Listen to me carefully. In His provision, providing for you, for me, for us, each one, to become increasingly Christ-like day after day, He left no stone unturned. Paul reminds us of that truth in Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. We read these scriptures. We hear these scriptures. We don't absorb these scriptures. Philippians 4:19. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now understand that the normal interpretation of that is my physical material needs. But it goes further. He has made available to me everything I need to react and to respond in a Christ-like way to every event in life. I just have to be willing to access it. I've got to be willing to access it. I want to be Christ-like in this situation. He's going to meet my needs. He's already promised me that. But what He has left up to me is I, as an act of my will, have to submit and surrender my will to Him in order to become increasingly like Him, which means that I have to respond and react to everything in life as I'm enabled and empowered by Him, but I have to access that enablement and that empowerment.
Amen.
It's there.
Mm-hmm.
It's made it available, but I have to access it. That's part of the whole idea of discipleship. God provides protection for His people up to a point. God provides protection for His people up to a point. Isaiah chapter 54, verse 17. No weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue which rises against you in judgment you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me, says the Lord. Now the question is, for me and for you, am I willing to be enabled and empowered? Am I really, truly willing to be enabled and empowered to die to self? Am I? In every circumstance of life, in everything I meet in life, am I willing to be enabled and empowered to die to self? Am I really willing to approach life, react to life, respond to life in Christ-likeness in every situation, in every circumstance? Am I willing to do that? Am I willing to obey His word in each and every circumstance of life? Am I willing to submit and to surrender? Am I willing to submit and surrender everything and to everything in life under His lordship? Am I willing to respond and be Christ-like in everything I meet in life? Starts in the home. It starts in the home and moves from there to every avenue of life. Am I really willing to obey His word in each and every circumstance of life? Am I? Am I really willing to obey Him? But then, am I really willing to be enabled and empowered by Him to be what He wants me to be? Am I willing? It's stages of growth, folks. We have to continually die to self. We have to continually evaluate and recognize those things about our responses and our reactions to life that are not Christ-like, our attitudes, our actions, our responses. And we've got to bring that under His Lordship. But the question is, am I willing? Now, He's willing to enable you, me. He's willing to empower us. He will enable you and empower you to do anything He tells you to do if you are willing to do it.
Amen.
Are you willing? Or do you want your pound of flesh? Do you want your own way? Are you willing to be enabled and empowered? Now, this is a biggie. You have to understand this is a biggie. Am I willing? This is a question you have to answer to God. Am I really willing to be enabled and empowered by You to be anything and everything You want me to be? Am I really willing to be enabled and empowered to be conformed to Christ's likeness in everything in life? Am I really willing to bring all of my reactions and responses in life under Your Lordship, thereby enabling me to become more Christ-like? Folks, it's more than words on a page. Am I really willing, regardless of the consequences, regardless of the consequences of what my obedience may cost me, am I willing? Regardless of the consequences, in every situation. 2 Peter 1:3. According as His, watch this now, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. It is His power that we have access to. It is His power that enables and empowers. It is He who has called us to glory and virtue. What does that mean? Moral excellence. Moral excellence. He has called us to glory and moral excellence. 2 Peter 1:4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through us. You can spend a long time looking at that verse. You can spend a long time looking at 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. Now, Peter knows that he's going to die soon. You recall that Peter was a cursing, swearing fisherman. And one day God said to him, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. And Peter left his boats, and he followed Christ. But he had a tough background. He had a lot of levels of sanctification to come through. He knows what he's talking about. But he embraced the anointing. He embraced the power. He embraced the authority. He was open to it. He was willing to be conformed and transformed. And in his willingness to be conformed and transformed, he was conformed and transformed. So he can write this. Now remember, Peter was about, best we can figure, he was about 65 to 67 years old when he died. And we're told that he was crucified upside down. That when the Roman government decided to crucify him, he said, I'm not worthy to be crucified the same way that my Lord was crucified, so crucify me upside down. And we're told that's the way he died, crucified upside down. But listen to verse 4 now. Folks, hang with this. Whereby are given unto us in the gospel exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers, that you can be a partaker of the divine nature, of Christ's likeness, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. The Word of God is full and filled with the promises of God. Filled with it. Are you availing yourself to them? Do you know what the promises of God are? Some are conditional. Some of the promises of God are conditional. Some are unconditional. Some are conditional. If you do this, I'll do that. If you obey this, I'll do that. And some are unconditional. Regardless of what else, God's going to keep his word. Some of his promises are just that unconditional, that regardless of anything else going on, he is going to honor his word. God always honors his word.
Amen.
Then some of his promises are conditional. He says, you do this, I'll do that. For example, no, I'm not going to go there. Some of his promises are conditional. Well, yeah, we'll go there too. Give, and it shall be given to you. I don't have to preach about giving to you folks, because you are givers. But this will be on the air, and people out there need to hear. That's why I hesitated to even bring it up in here. Give, and it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, and running over. God says you can't outgive me.
No.
God says you cannot outgive me. Because everything you give me, I'll just multiply it back to you. And that begins not only with our finances, but with us surrendering who we are to him and everything that we are and can be, regardless of anything else. God is going to always fulfill his promises. And again, some of his promises are conditional, some are unconditional. No matter what happens, I'm going to do this. That by these, by those promises, you might be partakers of the divine nature. Do you realize, as a child of God, you have been made a partaker of the divine nature of God? Ungodliness has no place in your life.
Hello.
Ungodly reactions and responses to life have no place in your life. Either in your attitude, your reactions, your responses, your language, it's going to happen. There are going to be those situations, those circumstances where you are going to respond or react in an un-Christ-like way. But the question is, am I willing to recognize that I have reacted, I have responded in an un-Christ-like way? In my attitude, I may not even have voiced it, but it was there. Am I willing to acknowledge it, recognize it, confess it as sin, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, escape the corruption that is in the world through lust? When you were born again, you became a new creation.
Amen.
In Christ Jesus, a new creation. You became a partaker of the divine nature of Christ. You, whatever you may be, whatever your lack may be, you became a partaker of the divine nature of God. And guess what? As an individual who has been born again and made a partaker of the divine nature, you have access to the throne of God 24/7, 365.
Praise God.
You have access to the throne of God, 24/7, 365. How much time do you spend praying for those nations that don't have a Bible? How much time do you spend praying for those nations that have never heard the word? How much time do you spend asking God to neutralize the power, the authority, the influence of Satan in the nations of the world. How much time do you spend asking God to neutralize the power, authority, influence that Satan has in the White House and the Senate, the House, the Congress, the Supreme Court, in the cities of the nation, in the mayor's office, in the governor's office? Folks, you have access.
Amen.
You've got access to the throne of God. You are an ambassador for Christ. As a good soldier, endure hardness. But you are an ambassador for Christ, meaning that you represent God and the kingdom of God in every aspect of life in the nations of the world. Know who you are in Christ. Know who you are in Christ. Know what's expected of you. Know what's available to you. Exercise it. Embrace it. Live it day by day. Because you are partaker of the divine. You're little old me. I mean, you know, Bob, you don't understand. No, you're a partaker of the divine nature. You've been adopted into the family of God. You're a believer, a priest, for crying out loud. You have access to the throne of God.
Amen.
Use it. Use it. For whatever purpose, whatever reason, you have access to the throne of God. You can go to God and you can present your request, whatever it may be, whatever it may be. Just stay off His throne. Present your need. Present your desires. But pray for the nation. Pray for the nations. Pray for the kingdom of God. And if it, listen to me. God has turned all of His work over to the church.
Yes, sir.
He holds each and every one of us accountable and responsible to advance the kingdom of God in this nation and the nations of the world through submission to Him and intercessory prayer.
Amen.
You got clout.
Yes, sir.
You have clout in heaven, so don't compromise your clout through unbelief. Don't compromise your clout through disobedience. Get up every day of the world. Pray big things, folk. I am asking God to neutralize the power of Satan in the nations of the world for a season.
Amen.
I am asking God to neutralize the power and authority of the President of the United States of America for a season. I am asking God to hold back the satanic agenda in this nation and the nations of the world for a season. I know what the end times hold. I told you last Sunday. But in the meantime, I am an ambassador for God. I'm an ambassador from the kingdom of God. And I have the authority and I have the privilege and I have the right to go into the very presence of God and take individuals before Him, take governments before Him, take this before Him, that before Him. I have access.
Amen.
And so do you. Don't be a spiritual wimp. Take your rightful place in Christ Jesus. Tell all hell, I'm awake, I'm up, and we're in a battle.
Amen.
Because I'll promise you, they understand that.
Yes, sir.
Every demon out of hell understands that. And every demon out of hell is going to try to neutralize you in your walk, in your faith, in your obedience. Won't compromise. Doesn't want you to believe. Doesn't want you to receive who you are in Christ Jesus. Doesn't want you to live out who you are in Christ Jesus. Know who you are in Christ. Then let God work out His own answer to your prayer in His way. Don't tell Him how to do it. Just present the request. Stay off His throne. But tell Him what you need. Stay off His throne. 2 Peter 1:5. But also, for this very reason, giving all diligence. Giving what? All diligence. Add to your faith virtue. And to virtue, knowledge. Because God has so favored His children, those who have been born again with the wonderful gift of salvation, let us with all diligence become Christ-like. Add to our faith Christ-likeness, that we want to be conformed to Christ-likeness. We want to be Christ-like in all of our reactions and responses to life. What does it mean, diligence? Spare no effort. Spare no effort to do your utmost for Him. That's what it means. Diligence. Spare no effort to do your utmost for Him. Virtue, that means to embrace and practice virtue. Embrace and practice godliness. Embrace and practice godlikeness. If you're going to define virtue, virtue includes, but is not limited to, morality, honesty, integrity, moral excellence. All that's involved in virtue. All of that. Morality, honesty, integrity, and moral excellence. Then add to virtue knowledge. Knowledge of what? How well do you know God? Add to your virtue knowledge of God. How well do you know God? You know what He approves of, what He disapproves of? Do you understand how He reacts, how He responds? When you stop and think about this thing, as I mentioned earlier, God's got His work cut out for Him. He's up to it. But do you realize that every human being on the face of the earth, in every tribe, tongue, and nation who has come to Christ or has come to Christ, that God is having to work in each of those individual lives to conform them to Christ's likeness? And you're in the mix. Oh, I know the church is full of some who say, oh, well, I pretty well got it made. Preacher, I'm pretty well up to speed. No, you're not. No, you're a long way from being up to speed. Aren't we all a long way from being up to speed? But once I come to grips with all this, and I say, okay, virtue, knowledge of God, I need to know the ways of God. I need to know the ways of God. I need to know the mind of God. God, deliver us from spiritual pride. Deliver us from spiritual pride. Let me ask you this. What is your reaction and your response to what is ungodly? What is your personal reaction? What is your personal response to that which is ungodly? The nation's full of it. What's your response to it? Let me ask you this. How would you like for God to respond to each level that's opposed to God? Well, I talk to Him about it. Well, I ask Him for His involvement. Ask Him for a move of His Holy Spirit. How do you respond? How do you react to the suggestions of Satan? Because every day of the world, you're getting suggestions to your mind from Satan. Every day of the world, you're going to be, Satan is going to be making suggestions to your mind. And you have to filter out what's a suggestion from the enemy. What's a prompting of the Holy Spirit? What's a prompting of Satan? Which am I going to embrace? Which one will I comply with? Let me ask you this. How did Jesus react and respond to the suggestions of Satan? Satan made suggestions. Jesus? That's the opposition. We need to understand what God approves of and what God does not approve of. Do you ever put any thought of that? What is it in my life, in my attitude, my reactions, in my responses, of which God approves? But then what is it in my life, my attitudes, my reactions, and my responses that God does not approve of? That's worthy of consideration. What is it in my life, about my life? Because you see, anything and everything that's in my life of which God disapproves can hinder my prayer power, can hinder my prayer life. That's why it's so important that we be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, that we react and respond to the Holy Spirit. 2 Peter 1:6. Add to knowledge, self-control. There's a biggie. Add to knowledge, self-control. To self-control, perseverance. And to perseverance, godliness. Add to knowledge, self-control. What does that mean? Control to my reactions in life. I've got to control my reactions to life. Self-control in my responses to life. I've got to control my attitudes towards events in my life. My attitude. I've got to do an attitude check. Add to self-control, perseverance. What is perseverance? If I were to ask you, what is perseverance? Because I'm to add to self-control, I've got to take every thought captive. I've got to control my reactions to life and to others. I've got to control my responses to life and to others. And I've got to add to that self-control. Perseverance. What does that mean? Steadfastness. Endurance. Regardless of what's going on in your life, keep on keeping on. Submitting. Surrendering. Keep on keeping on. And then add to that, perseverance, add godliness. Godliness. 2 Peter 1:7, to godliness. What is godliness? How would you answer that? If I ask you, what does it mean, godliness? Add godliness to your life. What does that mean? Godlikeness. That's what it means. Godlikeness. Now the question is, how much of my life is not like God? How much of my thinking is not like God? How much of my reactions and responses are not like God? You hear me use those phrases a lot, reactions and responses. Why? Because life is made up of reactions and responses. In the home, in the office, in the shopping center, wherever it may be. Life is made up of reactions and responses. What is my reaction? Is it Christ-like? What is my response? Is it Christ-like? Would God approve of this reaction to this situation? Would God approve of this response to this situation? Whatever that may be. Would God approve of it? These are things that we have to take into consideration. And quite frankly, these are things that we need to evaluate and examine in our lives and start sorting out that which is not Christ-like. Identify it. It's called sanctification, folks. It's a lifelong process. And if you're not careful, you'll take this lightly. And you say, well, that sounds good, but it's not reality. God says it's reality. Why do you think you're enabled by the Holy Spirit? Why do you think you're indwelt by the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit wants to enable you and empower you to do all we're talking about. Everything in this word. 1:7. To godliness, add brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, love. Brotherly kindness, love, all that is part of the mix. And each of us have to evaluate our life. Is that in my life? Is that a characteristic of my life? Yes or no? 2 Peter 1:8. Watch this now. For if, that's a big word, if. For if these things are in you and abound. If these things are in you and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is what gives you sensitivity. Embracing these attributes. Embracing these attributes we're talking about. And he says, Peter. He says, for if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, I have to be honest with myself and with God. So do you. I have to be honest with myself and with God. When I look at this list of Christ-likeness attributes, I've got to do a self-inventory. I've got to say, where am I lacking here? One of the hardest things you'll ever do is shut up. One of the hardest things you will ever do is you don't have to react. You don't have to respond. Just shut up. And quietly, regardless of what's going on in your spirit, sit there, stand there, wherever it may be, and pray. Ask the Holy Spirit of God to give you the ability, the strength, not to respond, not to react in an unchristlike way, but to be Christ-like in your reactions, in your responses to every event in life. Self-inventory, I've got to say to myself, where am I lacking? In all that we've read so far, Peter, knowing he's not far from death, he knows he's going to die. He knows that the government of Rome is not going to tolerate him and his teaching. He knows that. He knows he's going to be put to death. But this is his last letter. And he's encouraging us. 2 Peter 1:9. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted. Now you got to ask yourself, how much of this is lacking in my life? Of these attributes we've been talking about, how much of that is lacking in my life? For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, spiritual blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. As I examine myself, starts with me. I'm in the pulpit. As I examine myself, I have to be honest with myself and with you. I have to be honest. I've got a wife sitting back there, 24/7, 365. She's in a position to constantly evaluate, do I live out what I teach? Do I live out what I preach? Do I make an effort to live out what I teach, what I preach? Then you got to ask yourself this, in which of these attributes am I lacking? And that's between you and God. But in these attributes we've been talking about, I have to ask myself, where am I lacking? Where am I deficient? Where am I deficient in all this? And here again, you got to remember this. Developing Christ's likeness is a lifelong process. Developing, allowing the Holy Spirit, allowing the Holy Spirit to develop Christ's likeness in you is a lifelong process. Some of us started out further back in the pack than others. And we start wrapping this up, so listen to me. Some of us started out further back in the pack than others. Some never went where some of us have been. Some never said what some of us have said. Some were never part of what some of us were a part of. But that doesn't mean that you didn't need Christ. You may not have been all that some of us were. You may not have said all that some of us have said. You may not have done all that some of us have done, but you're a sinner saved by grace.
Amen.
You came out of the womb with a sin nature. Some of us came out of the womb with the sins of the fathers in the bloodline. That would hinder us in our spiritual growth. That would hinder us in our walk with God. And I dare say that a great deal of church never stops to think about the sins of the fathers and take a look at what was in my bloodline that found its way into my bloodline. And they never discuss it with the Lord. They never evaluate it. But you see, as I submit and surrender to His Lordship in my life, I become increasingly Christ-like. So will you. As you acknowledge these things in your life that are un-Christ-like, take them before the throne of God. Acknowledge them, confess them, repent of them, and ask for help. I can't do this on my own. I cannot overcome this trait. I cannot overcome this character defect. I cannot overcome this reaction, this response in my life on my own. I've got to have help. I've got to have your help, Holy Spirit. Amen. 2 Peter 1:10. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent. Diligent, diligent. Be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. He says, know that you know that you know that you're born again. Know that you know that you know you've been adopted into the family of God. Know that you know that you know you're a child of God, adopted into His family. Because one split second after the last heartbeat is too late. It's got to be settled before the last heartbeat. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. You have to know that you know that you know. Question, do you know that? He's saying you have to know that you know that you know that you're a child of God. Each of us have to say to ourselves, have I believed? Have I really truly believed? Have I received, am I indwelt by the Spirit of God? Am I adopted into the family of God? Am I being conformed to the likeness of Christ Jesus day by day? Am I submitting and surrendering day by day to Christ's likeness? Am I a new creation in Christ Jesus? If so, our last verse, 2 Peter 1:11. If you are, for so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Look at that verse 11. An entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If you have in fact been born again, then your entrance into heaven at death is assured. Amen. If you know that you know that you know that you've been born again, your entrance into glory at death is absolutely assured. And you will, throughout all of eternity, enjoy the blessings of a new heaven and a new earth. And folks, let me say this to you. There's so much out there in the universe that we don't understand. There is so much in the universe that we do not understand. But one split second after your last heartbeat, you will be in eternity, and only God in heaven knows what will be revealed to you at that moment. And you will be awed. Wow. All of this in eternity. And now I'm part of it. Throughout eternity, I am a part of what He's done and what He's doing. And you'll be ruling and reigning over the nation, the new creation with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what this is all about. That's what discipleship is all about. God deliver us from a pompous, self-satisfied, arrogant, spiritual, religious attitude.
Amen.
Turn to somebody right now and say, I'm not as spiritual as you think I am. Now say, am I not even as spiritual as I've tried to make you think I am? Quinn, stand and close with prayer. Come up here and take a mic. You know why I call on him to pray sometimes so much? I know where he come from. I know something about where he come from. He's a walking miracle.
Yes, sir.
Now, we all are in our sins.
Yeah.
But you.
I hear you, brother.
Father God, I just want to thank you this morning, Father, for the opportunity to be here, Father.
Yes.
You placed me here, Father, for a reason. And I'm so grateful for that, Father God, is to hear the word of God and remember, Father God, like Bob says, where I've come from. And, Father, what you brought me to. And, Father, what we have learned in this church and through your word, it's a battle, Father God, every day.
Amen.
Every minute of every day, Father God, it's a battle. And a word like today helps me to remember to keep that endurance, to keep fighting, to keep going.
Amen.
Even when I stop and I fall and I do stuff that I know that's not in your will, I know, Lord, you love me enough to never let me go, to never turn your back. And you're waiting for me to say, I grieved your spirit, and I repent, and I'm sorry. And I'm thankful that you take that, Father God, and you kill that sin. And I thank you for that, Father. Satan won't let me forget it, but you do, Father God. You forget it. And I'm so grateful for that, Father. Father, I'm grateful for my health and my salvation, for my family. Father, I could go on for days, months, years, Father God, the stuff you've done in my life, things I don't know about, but things I see, Father God, simple things, Father God, that I stop and go, oh, wow, God did that.
Amen.
Thank you. So, Father, may we have a grateful heart, but may we share your gospel for those, Father God, that need that touch from you, Father, that only you can grant. Father, it's our job to spread the word of Jesus Christ and what you've done in my life. And it's a good word. It's not a sad word, Father. It's exciting.
Amen.
And I thank you for it. Father, I pray you'll bless this nation. Lord Jesus Christ, I pray that you bring down the warring angels, Father God, to reach your hand down on this nation, Father God. And Father God, heal this nation.
Amen.
Only you can do it through the revival and through repentance and prayer, Father
yes.
God. And this remnant here is praying, Father God. You said to ask for it, Father God, if it's in your will. Father, I believe it's your will
yes.
that we repent and this nation turn back their eyes unto
Amen.
You, Father God. Father God, not those that are walking around, Father God, that are not saved, but those that are saved
yes.
that are not doing what you commanded us to do, Father God. That's what's going to reverse this trend of this nation and the evil that's in this nation, Father God, and the nations of the world. Father, I pray you'll bless our president and his cabinet and the Senate and the Congress and Supreme Court. In the name of Jesus Christ, Father God, those that will not bow their knee to you, Father God, I pray, Father God, at however you do it, remove them from that office,
Amen.
Father
Amen.
God. Father God. We need godly men and women leading this country, Father.
Amen.
We need godly men and women leading a military, Father God, and in the police force and the fire departments, Father God.
Right.
And Father God, Lord Jesus, we need you in our classrooms.
Oh.
Father, I pray, God, that you will turn the education system around, starting in the colleges and all the way down, Father God. Forgive us, Lord Jesus Christ, for what we've allowed into our education system. Forgive us. The church allowed it, Father. We were blinded and did nothing to stop it, Father God. I ask for forgiveness, Father God. Father, I ask for forgiveness for abortion in this country, Father. We haven't forgot about it, Father God.
Amen.
I pray about abortion all the time, Father God. And I know what you hear and what you see, Father God, of those babies, those innocent babies being slaughtered, Father God. I rebuke that in the name of Jesus Christ, and I speak the blood of Christ, Father God, on this nation. Father God, I thank you for salvation. I thank you for what you're doing. And Father, for those that need a touch, Father, a healing touch this morning in this congregation or in that box, Father God. Those prayers that are at the foot of this cross, Father God, they're there at the foot of the cross for a reason. Yes. To be lifted up to you, Father God. And in your name, I pray, Lord Jesus Christ, you'll answer every one of those prayers, Father God. And I pray for everyone in the sound of our voice, those that are homebound, Father God, those that are here that need a touch from you physically, Father God, emotionally. Father, they just need a touch, Father God, to get their walk straight with you, Father God. Yes. That's what they need, Father God. And I pray for each one of us. Hear our prayers, Father God. It's from the heart. Father, I have grandchildren, great-grandchildren, Father, that's growing up in a sin-cursed world, Father God, and I pray, Lord Jesus, and claim their souls from the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Amen. Father, I just pray for every child, Father God, that's in this nation, this world, Father God. I pray that they will hear your gospel, Father, understand your love, Father God, understand the cross, and understand what you did for us and what you will do for them, Father God, and bring them to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And it's your holy and precious name I pray, Father God. Amen.
Amen. All of God's people said?
Amen.
Let me make a closing comment on this morning's message. My job is to prepare you day by day to meet a sin-cursed, sin-world, God-hating world.
Amen.
You are salt. You are light. And my job is to help you meet this sin-cursed, sin-darkened world every day of the world. To be light, to be salt. But you can't do that if you don't understand what you're up against.
Amen.
Who you are in Christ Jesus. Who you are in Christ Jesus. As one in Christ Jesus. As one who's been born again. Your past is forgotten.
Amen.
Your sins are forgiven. And as you confess a sin, it is forgiven and forgotten. And you have access to the power of the universe.
Amen.
To the creative power of the universe. Who can change everything overnight.
Yes, sir.
Use your position. Use your position. Day by day. To go before the throne of God, wait before the Lord, and let the Holy Spirit of God guide you in what you pray for the nations of the world.
Amen.
We would.